I'm Terry Taylor, and this is the Interior Design Business Academy podcast. As an interior designer, you may be thinking, I love what I do, but I am so overworked and underpaid. Let me tell you, I've been there too. I spent many years learning from my own mistakes and developing proven strategies and systems to make interior design a profitable career while keeping it fun and creative. So now, I'm here to help you get paid what you're worth. If you're ready for some straight talk about how design business really works, and you're ready to break through old belief systems that are holding you back and shift into beliefs that support your goals and bring lasting success, you are in the right place. Little money magnets that create great results. Now, this is about some little shifts in the way you think that can make a huge difference in the way abundance and money shows up in your life. Now, the first thing to consider is mindset, how you feel about money. Now, the first time one of my coaches told me that her relationship was one of harmony and comfort and reliability, and that it was important to her to know that money was going to show up for her and that it was her friend, and I thought she was nuts. But, you know, as I got into this study and got deeper into this, she's absolutely right. You need to have a relationship with money that's very much like any important relationship in your life, that it's there for you, reliable, dependable, consistent, all of those things. And the reality of that is more mindset than the actual circumstance. Okay. So there's a way of thinking about this that produces more abundance, and money is part of abundance in your life, because you're focused on the abundance side rather than the scarcity side. Now, those feelings can come from a whole bunch of things in your past, but you do have the choice to think about it in any manner that you want, because whatever you think about and focus on and repeat and then speak is what you create more of in your life. Okay? That's just basic law of attraction. So you want to beware of the things you say, like, oh, all I ever get is cheap clients, rah, 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 you know, that kind of thing. Because by saying that, you're just attracting more of that to you. So it's a better situation when you can say, I am so happy and grateful that I have great clients. They love me. They have great budgets and they let me be creative. In other words, say all the things that you want instead of what you don't want. Okay. That's a really important piece to this. Now, what you want to know a little further than that and is that money is a form of abundance, and abundance is lots of everything, lots of prosperity, but lots of love, lots of health, children, education, creativity, all the things that make our life rich and full that would we like more of. That falls into the category of abundance. And when we think that way and expect abundance will arrive in our life, like, hey, universe, how good could this get? You know, that kind of a mindset, then we start co-creating that peace along with us. Now, one of the things that I want to point out here is things like law of attraction and pulling this abundance towards you. It can't be just for the money, right? That doesn't work. There's no energetic piece to that. One needs to go a little bit deeper in that and think about the bigger why. Why would abundant money and prosperity in your life be good? What would happen if that were there? And why is it important to you? Well, it could be important to you because you want to put your kids in a private school. It could be important to you because you're building a retirement so that you can back off one of these days, or your husband can back off. It could be so that you're in a position that you could do pro bono jobs and contribute back to the community that supports you. But whatever it is, it's worth digging for and coming up with a deeper reason why you want to create this abundance in your life. I had a designer student a few years back who wanted her kids to be in a private school, her daughter to be in a private school that she had always wanted her to go to because she had gone to it and her mother had gone to it and her grandmother, that kind of a thing. Except it was terribly, terribly expensive. And her husband said, you know, there's no way. We just can't pull this off. Well, what it needed was $50,000 for the next semester. I said, okay, all right, let's go out and let's manifest that $50,000. She had this very deep reason of why she wanted the money is to put her daughter in that school so she could have the experience she had it. And over the next, I'd say 2 months, it manifested beautifully in the form of a couple of jobs that had some big ticket fees attached to them. And one where she sat down on the staircase and laid out what the job's going to be and the fee and said, I'll need a deposit of $20,000 to get this started. And they went, oh, no, let me just write you a check for 50 for the whole thing. And then I don't have to write another check. And it was like this amazing manifestation of, oh, that's exactly what I need, all right? So it's a really interesting phenomenon that when we get focused on what we want and what we want to create, and we have a deeper why, a deeper reason, an emotional reason why, it really puts the fire under the ability to manifest it, and stuff starts showing up like crazy to the point where you just need to say yes to it so that you know what's going on there. Okay. So think about that in terms of how you think about money and make money your friend. Make that work for you. Now, the second thing I want to talk about there is that part of stepping into this part of your life, into being a highly successful designer, means that you need to start acting and feeling like a highly successful designer. Now, and make decisions from the standpoint of being successful. Okay. Now, tricky. Yeah. Tricky. But once you're aware of it, you can start to move in that direction. I mean, it's not like you're going to flip over 180 degrees overnight. Okay. This is a shift you're making. But in order to be that successful designer, you have to start acting like it. Okay. And you have to start understanding what abundance feels like, what prosperity feels like, what luxury feels like, because luxury is actually what you're providing for your clients. And it's good for you to know what it feels like and be able to embody it. Now, how can you do that? Well, you can go step into luxury situations that you normally wouldn't do. For instance, going to a high-end boutique or clothing store and try on some gorgeous clothes. Try on something fabulous. Okay? So you can feel the quality of the material on your skin. Feel the quality of the way it's tailored and the way it fits. It's really amazing. I mean, and I think you'll get it. You absolutely get it. The other thing is that by stepping into a situation and literally pretending that you could afford to buy this $1,500 dress, or even would consider buying this $1,500 dress, is the ability to get past your brain, your mind, telling you the story that you don't belong there, or you don't deserve that, or you can't have that, or they're not going to talk to you because they'll know that you're not going to buy it. Not true. Not true at all. I mean, you can just put yourself in the shoes of one of your clients and walk in that store that you never walked into before and try on some clothes. Consider it. Okay. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to do any of it, but you do need to feel it. You do need to feel with your body what it feels like to do that and break through that barrier that says, oh no, you can't do that. You can't go in there. That's not for you. It's not true. It's not true at all. Right? So some practice on your part about making some inroads into this luxury piece and letting yourself be there. Now, magnet number one, okay, magnet number one is I am responsible for my own success, okay? You are a willing partner in everything you've created financially in your life and your business. You are a willing partner. It doesn't just happen to you, Okay. You co-create that with God, universe, spirit, you know, whatever word you want to use in there. But we have agency in what we create. Okay. Along with all this energy. And abundance isn't just something that happens to us. It's something we create. And scarcity, not having enough, or having just barely enough, or just barely getting by, that's self-created too. Okay? And when you realize that you have an active part in that, it's not just happening to you and it's just out there and gee, I wish I had it, but, and I try, but it's never coming through, is realizing that you know, it's about you creating it. It's about your depth in it. So there's no blaming. There's no blaming families or husbands or that sort of thing. You know, give it up. You know, just give it up. It doesn't count. And let me tell you something. Broke is a temporary situation. Okay. It happens to everyone. No matter how wealthy people are, they get in that situation. They broke. Okay. And then you work your way out of it. It's temporary. If you're constantly struggling with not enough, constantly struggling, trying to pay the bills and keep things together, then that is a scarcity mindset that's propelling that and keeping that in place, because it doesn't need to be. The universe is abundant. It will provide everything you need if you just let it, if you just open it up and let it happen, and then start doing the things that you need to do to support that. Okay? We'll talk more about that in later podcasts, because we'll get deeper into that one. But realize that it's your responsibility for yourself. When you start taking that on yourself and being responsible for your own success, that's where the change starts to happen. Okay. Magnet number two, I learn about making money from financially successful designers. Okay. What this means is that it is said that the five people that you're closest to have the most impact on you and your life and your business and everything you're doing. So in order to move up market, in order to get better, in order to learn more, if you hang out with people who are at where you want to go or moving towards where you want to go, they're going to take you right along with them, and you'll just shift almost automatically with them and move up into that. Okay. But if you hang out with people who are going the other direction, people who complain and whine and don't take responsibility for themselves and watch TV daily, never read a book, you know, that kind of thing. And it's always somebody else's fault and that sort of thing. If you're around people like that, that's where you're going to go. That's what you're going to get captured into. Okay. So obviously we don't want to do that. You want to pay attention to who you spend the most time with. Okay. And if there are people in your design community that you hang out with that do the, oh, all we get is ever, oh, crummy clients. Nobody has any money. Nobody ever spends anything. All right. This city doesn't have anybody who spends any money. You know, I hear this stuff all the time, and it's just self-perpetuating. It just could, you know, it just makes more of that stuff. And a group of people doing that together can make a whole lot of yucky clients and no budgets and crummy situations. Right. So be aware of who you're hanging out with, and realize that perhaps this person's a friend, but perhaps their influence isn't helping, and maybe you need to limit their time a little bit. Maybe limit and protect yourself. It is said that it takes 5 hours of time with good people with positive stuff to make up with 1 hour from somebody who's always being negative and pulling you backwards. Right? So do be aware of that piece, and know that those people, be their friends or family or whatever, they love you. They really do. But realize that if you become more successful, that makes them feel more unsuccessful. Okay. And while they want you to do well, they don't want to feel bad either. Right? So they got this natural pull to pull you back in. So be aware of who you're hanging out with, because that's going to make an enormous difference as well. Now, magnet number three, I keep my bookkeeping in order. I know my numbers. Now, anybody who's part of our programs here at Interior Design Business Academy knows about this and knows how sticky I am about having books and keeping good books, because quite frankly, ignoring it will not draw the money in. Ignoring money will repel it, okay? What you pay attention to grows. So when you pay attention to your books, when you pay attention to the money coming in and the money coming out and how you pay out and what your margins are and you know, what you're saving as well for your profit account, all of that stuff counts. You know, I talk to people who have these beautiful lofty goals and they want to do this and want to do that. But if you have no numbers, you have no idea what it would take or to get there. And then if you were there, you wouldn't know what it would look like because you don't have any, you're not tracking on it. Okay. And sometimes, you know, occasionally I'll get somebody who's just so busy and just plowing through things that they're actually doing way better than they thought they were once we finally get some bookkeeping going and some structure, you know, and that's often the case. I've coached with someone many years ago, came to me because she was so frustrated. She wasn't making any money. Been in the business for years, had good clients, charged plenty of money, but she never had anything at the end of the year. Well, once we got into her QuickBooks, we discovered that actually she made quite a bit. It's just that she bought a new car and remodeled her kitchen and bought a lot of clothes and this and that, you know. And so there was $100,000 worth of stuff pulled out of her account that she wasn't even aware of. And so actually she was doing quite well, but she was feeling poor, okay? And that's from not paying attention to numbers. Okay. And if you get in that mindset of feeling poor and I don't have any money and how am I going to do this and worried about paying bills, you can't be abundant. You can't draw in those big clients. You can't be hugely creative. All right. So this is a really important piece here about having a bookkeeper. One of the very first hire you should make is a bookkeeper. Because while I know many of you can do books and balance checkbooks and that sort of thing, it takes you way longer. It should. And you're probably not very accurate with it either. So it's better to hire somebody who's really good for $30 an hour and you go out and make your $150 an hour. It's a trade-off that pays off big. Okay. And then you can have a meeting with your bookkeeper every couple of weeks and figure out exactly where you are. I mean, you can't reach a goal of, you know, doing $350,000 this year and putting $90,000 in a paycheck to you if you don't know what you have. You know, one of the other pieces that I have always done with my books, besides having a bookkeeper to keep it square, and, you know, you can do that through a design management program. There's lots of those, or, you know, one that connects to QuickBooks. Either way, you just need reports. You need to know where you're at. One of the things that would really help is tracking what your income is. Track all the money that comes in and celebrate it, okay? We tend to just look at bills. Just to look at bills, you know, you get depressed, right? If you look at income instead, it's quite uplifting. You go, oh my gosh, I actually did really well. This is amazing. Okay. I had someone I was coaching with a few years back who had a really good year. It was in our master's program, had a great year. He was doing really well. And then in December called me and was really upset because he got his bank card bill and it was really big. He says, I don't know what I was doing. I just way overspent. I don't know how I'm going to pay for this. This is awful. And we're, oh, this is bad. Well, I said, what do you got in receivables? What's it? Oh, he had books, right? Then what do you got in receivables? And he went, oh, you know, I don't know, 90,000, something like that. What do you have to do to be able to bill it? He says, oh, I could bill it now. It's all delivered. Well, great. I said, well, what do you owe on that 90,000? He said, nothing. I already paid the bills. I'm going, wait a minute. You can bill $90,000 and it's just going to be in your pocket. I don't think this, I don't think this credit card is a problem. All right. It wasn't, but he was only looking at the downside, the I have to pay this bill, not what he had, not the assets he had to actually pay it. All right. So, you know, it's like the reality of the situation didn't change. The way he thought about it changed. That's an important thing. Now, magnet number four. Okay. I'm comfortable with talking about money with my family and clients. This is an important one. We have to be able to pull the money elephant out of the closet and kick it around on the floor and be able to talk about money with clients. Because you know what happens when you say, do you have a budget for this? And they'll go, oh no, I don't know. And they back up and they won't talk about it again. I really think that the voice they hear says, how much money do you have? And they don't want to talk about that. And so they just back up and then you can't talk about money anymore. All right. So obviously that's not the right question. Okay. And I teach you more about how to talk about money, but the comfort level that you have with talking about money needs to happen first. Okay. And I will tell you, it took me quite a while to learn to talk about money. I can remember being a little kid and my dad saying, we don't talk about money. That's not polite. And I went, oh, okay. And I probably didn't talk about money till I was 48 or something. Really, you know, kind of ridiculous. But it's a tricky subject. And so you want to work on it. Now, my best advice is to work on it at home. Okay. Because quite frankly, if you can't talk about money at home, you won't be able to talk about it with clients. Okay. So work on home first. Work on being able to have money conversations that have no drama in them, no edgy emotions, no nothing. It's just money. And it's not a big thing. Okay. So, you know, when you practice with your family, having money conversations that are clear and they're not emotional, they don't turn into yelling. They don't do any of that stuff because many of us grew up with situations like that where money was a hot topic and you kind of avoided it at all costs. So you didn't get into that kind of drama. Well, you know, We need to get past that. We need to get past that so we can talk to clients about it. Because it isn't up to them to get comfortable about talking about money. It's up to you to help them be comfortable talking about money so that you can get your budget, so that you can actually design for them. Because it's a huge part of your programming. And we know that they don't teach that much in school, but out here in the real world, it's a big deal. It's really, really important because, you know, your jobs hinge on that. It's a really big hunk. So practice talking about money till you can do it with comfort, without any edge in your voice, without any uncomfortableness in your body, just so it's really simple, like pass the salt, the phrase we use for for when you have to talk about a really big number and don't want to get your emotions in it. I say it's a pass the salt moment. Well, that's what you got to learn to do, is get the emotional piece out of there so that you can help clients come to budgets easily and completely. And once you have a budget, you can call out a fee and everything works just like click, click, click. It's really easy. Okay. So those are the money magnets that are so important because when you pay attention to your money, what you pay attention to grows. Okay. I do daily tracking of whatever comes in every day. I write it down with smiley faces and hearts and flowers and celebrate it, whether it came from clients or it was a refund from a vendor or a tax return or anything that comes in or has money that came to us that isn't mine, that came from my husband's side. We can celebrate that too. Okay. When you start paying attention to it and focusing on it and being happy about it and enjoying it, you know, then what you pay attention to grows. Okay. And when the money grows, it makes life easier. It's not like money fixes everything, but money can buy a lot of things that bring pleasure and comfort for you and your family. And it's a lovely place to be. Now, I want to leave you with an affirmation. This one came from Louise Hay. Make sure we give her credit. You know, she has given us some wonderful things like this. And this goes like this. I am a magnet for money. Prosperity of every kind is drawn to me. Now I'll say that again if you want to write it down. I am a magnet for money. Prosperity of every kind is drawn to me. I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Interior Design Business Podcast. If you love what you're hearing each week, let me know by leaving a rating and a review. And don't forget to follow the show so you don't miss out on clear, proven, repeatable, step-by-step recipes for attracting ideal luxury clients I share in each episode. As always, you can head over to interiordesignbusinessacademy.com to check out the links and resources from this episode. Till next week, design something beautiful and get paid what you're worth.